obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith
in Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting, walks close by my side. Oh, I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith
in Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting,
confiding
in His great love.
Yes, in His great love.
And from all harm safe.
From all harm safe.
In a shelter. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. For I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith
in Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
I'm trusting, sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries in vain. For I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith
in Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting,
comprehend. Here's a request for Sister Lisa. She had migraine on Friday, and she's had migraine again this morning, and I believe that God wants to heal her. How many of you believe that God wants to heal her? God's a healer. That's His business. That's what He does. Father, we pray for Lisa Hope right now in the name of the Lord. We do not doubt You, God. We believe that virtue of healing will flow through her body. We claim a healing miracle by the power of a mighty God. Make her every whit whole. Father, let that migraine disappear in the glory of your healing presence, that the cross of Christ, the stripes on his back will be glorified, that the world will know there is no defeat with him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. One more time, there's a miracle in the making, and then the word of the Lord. Amen.
There's a miracle in the making.
Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
One just for you, the Father is working.
Even now.
Your prayers have been heard.
Oh, yes.
And the answer's on the way.
I believe that, church.
There's a miracle
in the making
for you today.
Go with me to the book of Psalms, division 2. And I want to read to you a text that's really quite overwhelming. I love the subject the Lord's given me this morning, and I want it to be a blessing to you. I really do. I want to preach on why the Father exalted his son, Jesus. Why the Father exalted his son, Jesus. It's amazing to see David talking of this so many years before Christ was born of Mary. It's powerful, really, it is. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Brother, if we're not living there now, we never will. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Notice that. Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their band asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now notice, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Listen to that. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now we know who that is. That's Jesus, whom the Father hath exalted and set upon his holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That language is New Testament language written in the Old Testament. But it's powerful. Powerful. I love it. I'm thrilled to it. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Now, what is he saying to Jesus? He's saying, I'm going to give you the kingdom. I'm going to give you the uttermost possession of the earth. I'm going to put the heathen under your authority. Oh, he's going to do it. That's what we're looking for right now. That glorious kingdom, the millennial reign. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Lest you perish from the way when the wrath is kindled against you. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Who's that? Jesus. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now, this text is one of the most powerful in the Old Testament that I can imagine. Where the Lord Jesus is seen in his glory. And the Father sets him on the holy hill of Zion at his own right hand and declares, I will give thee the earth, the heathen, the world, for thine inheritance. Would you be seated? Pray as you are seated. Father, grant us wisdom from above. I'm excited to preach this sermon this morning. I know, Father, it is your word, and there is no doubt that you will bless it, and it will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose whereunto thou hast sent it. Always that is true, Father, we can trust it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Father hath exalted his Son, Jesus. The Father hath exalted his Son, Jesus. I want to give you seven reasons, the Lord helping me, why the Father hath exalted his Son, Jesus. This is one of the most powerful truths in the Bible. That Jesus didn't just die on the cross and resurrect and go to heaven, but the Father met him in heaven and exalted him, giving him a name which was above all names, and declaring unto him that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess, that he would be Lord of all, King of kings, Lord of lords, that the day would come when this crucified Son, this resurrected Savior, would be King of the universe, King of the whole world. It's really exciting to think about. I mean, God crucified his own Son. He didn't put him to death because he was angry with him. He put him to death because there was a divine redemptive purpose in all that was occurring, and that this Son who was being crucified and put to death in the most miserable of situations would soon be exalted to sit beside the Father in the very hills of glory, the very kingdom of God, the very temple of the Heavenly Father. It's a picture that is beautiful to behold. Are you aware this morning that this Jesus who washed you from your sins, this Jesus who saved you by his blood and made a new creature out of you, are you aware that he will soon be king of this universe and that you will serve under him for 1,000 years of righteousness? I'm telling you, we got a day ahead of us that is literally mind-boggling. Now, why? Why? What are the reasons that God exalted his Son? Let's think about them. I want you to write them in your mind. Don't let them ever disappear from you. These reasons are breathtaking. Number one, he gave his Son an exalted position because the blood of his Son was the source of the testament that would defeat every purpose of the devil, and that Satan was absolutely a smitten foe. He won't just be smitten in the future when we see him forever cast into the lake of fire. He's smitten already. He operates on a time schedule. He has only a short time. And we are here at the moment where we can see that his hour is at hand. He's playing his game to the best of his ability. But he knows, the Bible says he knows, he has but a short season. And he has great wrath against those who belong to him. And he will destroy every saint of God if he can. But he's defeated. He's already defeated. And so the Father exalted the Lord Jesus to sit beside him because the Lord Jesus had obtained absolute victory over the devil. I mean, the devil was not fully defeated until Jesus died on that cross. Oh, yeah, the devil could be stopped, and the devil could know defeat, and things could happen that would put the devil in his place. But the ultimate defeat was not until he died. Jesus died on that cross. And when Jesus shed that sacred blood, divine blood, took that same blood and delivered it to the very temple of heaven and put it on that heavenly out. And the Father now has sitting beside him his own only begotten Son, who has walked through the course of life for 33 years, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, willingly went to that cross and shed his blood and hung there in the uttermost situation of shame and disgrace to the human body. But he was dying for you and for me. And now the Father exalts him because he's won the position. Now remember this. Jesus won the position of exaltation from the Father by the shedding of his blood. Am I right or wrong? Somebody raise their hand if I'm right. He won that position by the shedding of his blood. It was not something the Father gave to him just to be good to his Son. It was something the Father gave to him because he'd earned the right. He'd earned the privilege. He'd earned the power. He'd made the sacrifice. He'd finished the work. He could say as he finished at the point of his death, it is finished. Hallelujah. That was not just an idle statement. That was an eternal statement. And now the Father exalts him who has won the victory for God. See, Jesus actually won the victory for his Father. He really did. He won this victory over sin and the devil for his Father. It was for the Father. It was for the Father's business. It was for the Father's kingdom. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That prayer was made to Jesus by his disciples before Jesus went to the cross, because that cross was going to earn Jesus the right to be exalted above every name in the entire universe. Now church, you got to hear me. Please don't just sit there and worry about being a little crowd this morning. Would you please? Would you get your mind on the Word? God exalted his Son because his Son had won the greatest victory of humankind. From the moment of the sin in the garden, nobody had been able to put an end to the darkness of sin. Death had been an enemy all through those 4,000 years to that point. Death had been hated and despised, and it had been a terrible tragedy for people as they faced death. But now Jesus wins the ultimate victory and dies on that cross and sheds this precious divine blood, and all hell is trembling because of this great victory. And God the Father exalts his Son, sets him right there on his right hand. You earned this right, Son. You earned this privilege, Son. You earned this glorious moment, Son. Hallelujah. Now listen, folks. When you think about Jesus at the Father's right hand, you're not thinking about someone who is impoverished. You're not thinking about someone who's struggling to win. You're not thinking about someone who's trying to fight till they finish so they will not ever lose. You're talking about something completely won, altogether victorious, altogether triumphant. Yet more. Somebody help me here. What a blessing. So, one reason. Number one, I could stop there and it'd be worth the sermon. God exalted his Son because his Son had earned the right to be exalted. Jesus didn't have to blush when the Father gave him this wonderful name because Jesus had won the victory. He stood there in triumphant, hallelujah, shouting praise. He had won, and God exalted his Son. God exalted his Son because of that great authority of the blood that Jesus had paid the price of sin. Hallelujah. Then the Father exalted the Son because the Father was searching for the greatest name in all the created universe. The Father searched. They must have went through all the vocabularies of every language on the face of the earth. But they finally found the right name. And that name was Jesus. And God who seeked them. That name, Jesus, became in the exhortation of Christ. Now, you got to understand, the name Jesus would have no meaning if he had not resurrected from the grave. You got to understand that name Jesus would have had no power if he just lingered around with his disciples and stayed here on the earth. That name Jesus would have no authority if God the Father hadn't given him that glory and that praise when he arrived in the portals of glory. I'm giving you a name which is above every name. No, sir. Woo! No comparison. The name Jesus. So God the Father exalted his Son and gave him a name which was above every name. Oh, could somebody raise a right hand and just love on this great Jehovah God? You got to understand, the Father was giving his Son the best that existed in the whole universe. And so God the Father exalted his Son, not because just because he'd won the victory with the blood, but because God wanted him to have a name that men all over the face of the earth in their darkest moment could call, and there would be triumph in that name. Do you hear me this morning? When you get in trouble, don't you go yell in Otto Rodericus. Don't you go to yell in Marlon Clark. Don't you go to yell in Robert Rogers. You just yell, Jesus. Jesus. Santa! Somebody help me. Just say the name Jesus. Say the name Jesus right now, would you? Jesus. Come on, say it out loud. Jesus. All hail trembles. All hail trembles. When you say that name. 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 Hail trembles. Because God gave him the greatest name in the universe. God gave him a name above every name. A name of triumph and power and victory and glory. That's why God did it. God exalted his Son. First, because of his blood. Second, because he would give him a name which would be above every name. I'm telling you, and I hope everybody hears me. Probably tomorrow it'll go out on Facebook. I want everybody that's listening tomorrow, I want you to understand that the only name that will break the power of hell, the only name that will pull down the strongholds of the wicked one, the only name that will see you through the valley and through the storms of life is the name Jesus. The name Jesus. Only name given under heaven whereby you can be saved. Now notice that word saved. That don't just mean saved from your sins. It means delivered from every game and every plan of the wicked one. Do you hear me? Are you listening to me? Saved is a lot more than being delivered from sin. Saved is being delivered from anything the old devil has got planned on his scheme. Oh, hallelujah. So, number two, God exalted his Son to give him a name which was above every name. Every name. Number three, God exalted his Son to set him over the universe of men and women. And God exalted his Son and gave him such a position of authority and power that every knee shall bow. Somebody say that with me. Every knee shall bow. You got a bunch of wicked people out there. They'll say Jesus with some old carnal feeling of worldliness and lust. They'll call his name because they don't have nothing else to say. They'll say his name as a curse word, as a byword. I want to tell you something. The day will come when that man who says Jesus as a byword will bow their knee and declare, he is the one that I rejected. He is the one that I said no to. And they will bow their knee and give allegiance to him. Hear me, wicked people out there all over this globe. Your day's coming when you'll bow before this man named Jesus. Your knee will bend. It may be too late. It may be sorrowful. But the knee will bow. The knee will bow. That knee must bow. Now you got to get this. Every human being that's ever lived or ever will live may be in one of the Cremonas of Iran. I don't think I said the word Cremonas right. I said it too hurriedly, but that's okay. I won't try again. But every one of them bow to the name of Jesus. They may fight him today. If you lived in Iran, you might would be put to death because you were found worshiping the name of Jesus. But that man who puts you to death will one day regret it when he faces the mighty Son of God. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that thou art Christ, to the glory of God the Father. I don't plan to say mine then. I'm going to say mine now. Every knee shall bow to the name of Christ, to the glory of God. Would you say with me, I bow my knee this morning. I bow my knee this morning. I bow my heart and my head this morning. I bow me before God. I bow me before God. A man who knows how the devil is fighting this church called me this week and said, would you maybe back down? Would you maybe change your mind? Would you maybe turn around? And I said, no. One day I will get to see the worst of enemies bow before him. I will not bow to the world. I won't bow to the demands of men. I won't bow to the compromise of preachers. I won't bow to nothing the devil brings against me. I'm going to stand tall and strong for the glory of God the Father. So number three, every knee shall bow. God exalted him and gave him. Now you think about this. How high of a position can you put a man, a God in this case, until every living soul of all eternity has to bow? You know, you can think of a king over a country that everybody that comes by him has to bow. You're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the universe. And God gave him a name that every knee would have to bow. I love that. Man, do I love that. What a blessed Savior. What a blessed Savior. Number four, God made him king because God knew he could be trusted. Now, would you think about this? The Father has sent him to this earth 33 years early. The Father had given him a task to perform. The Father had given him a chore to complete. The Father had laid in front of him a great ministry to fulfill. The Father made it clear that at the end of that mission and ministry, he would be put to death in vicious form. And the Father knew all about it, and the Son knew all about it. But on the night before, Jesus said, Father, if you be willing, let this cup pass. But not my will, thy will be done. And Jesus made that ultimate surrender that he would give his whole will to the Father. And so now the Father knows he can be trusted. The Father knows he can be trusted. The Father knows that Jesus can be trusted. Are you listening to me? And the Father makes him King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all the substance of greatness because the Father knew his Son had proven himself for 33 years. Now you think about this. 33 years with all those people taunting him and all those people trying to kill him and all the dark things that were said about him and all the dark action that was taken toward him up in Nazareth. They tried their best to throw him off the cliff and kill him on the rocks below. And God, by grace, helped him walk through them and disappeared. God watched over him because the Son was totally faithful and totally willing. And God knew his Son could be trusted. So he made him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to tell you something, Sister Rodericus, you'll never need him that he won't be there. You'll never need him that you can't trust him. The Father knew he could be trusted. You say, Brother Chambers, was that important? My Bible makes it very plain that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible makes it plain that the Father could say when he was hanging on the cross, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you remember that? Three different times: when he was baptized, when he was glorified, and when he was crucified. The Father rung out from the heavens above and declared, "That's my Son. That's my Son." Now that's something marvelous. My daddy always liked me, but he never said nothing like that. My mother always liked me, but she didn't say nothing like that. My friends, some of them like me, but I don't remember them saying anything like that, and I really want them to. But I want to tell you something. God the Father said of his Son, he can be trusted. He is faithful. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So number four, God exalted him and gave him this mighty and marvelous position because the Father knew he could trust him to fulfill every part of his responsibility. Want to say his name and it slipped me. The man that was stoned to death there in the book of Acts was Stephen. When Stephen was being put to death, can you look at that crowd of Jewish haters? Look at them. Stephen up in front of him, and they're taunting him, and he won't bow down. He won't bend. He keeps on proclaiming Jesus. So they grab rocks, and they begin to throw them. The first one bounces off his shoulder. The next one bounces off his side. The next one hits him in the head and kind of stuns him. I mean, they keep pounding him with rocks, and the Bible says he looks out over crowd and says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And standing in the heavens, he looked up and said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." He stood for me a few times, church. He stood for me a few times. Has he ever stood for you? If you'll let him, he will. If you'll let him, he will. He'll stand for you. He's faithful. I said the Son of God was faithful in all his actions, all of his ministry, everything he said, everything he did. It is breathtaking to me. Then number five, God was preparing his Son for something way down the road. God was preparing his Son for something bigger than life. God was preparing his Son for a day when he would send him back to this earth. He would take over the total governmental police control of this universe from the north to the south, the east to the west. God was getting his Son ready to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mighty Redeemer, the mighty victorious one. God was getting him ready to be the King of this universe. Hallelujah. Hadn't happened yet. But be patient. Very soon, God got him ready so that when Jesus arrived back in heaven, he could give him the promise that every knee shall bow. And I love those words in the book of Psalms, division 2. Says it very plainly. Very plainly, "I'll give you the heathens for your inheritance. I'll put the whole world under your control." Did he not say it? "I'll put everything under your dominion." The day will come when you're Lord of Lords and King of Kings and God the Father. All through the course of his ministry and the day of his glorification, preparing him to be the King of this universe. Jesus has been seated at the Father's right hand nearly 2,000 years. And Jesus knows that at the right moment, the Father's going to say, "Go get your bride. Hurry back. And then after you've been here 7 years, get ready to go." And God gets him ready to reign on this earth 1,000 years. That's why God the Father exalted his Son. That's why the Father gave him all the beauty and the majesty of his hand and his touch upon him. It is beautiful beyond measure. It is beautiful beyond description. But I got something else I want to give you. Number six, God wanted him to be king, intercessor, right beside him on the throne of heaven. Because God knew something about the Son that you and I probably never think about. He knew the Son had passion for every part of the family. He knew when the family was in trouble, like Stephen, the Lord would be right there standing up with him. He knew there was a passion, there was a love, there was a faithfulness in the heart of the Christ for the church and the bride and the company of saints, that he could set him at his right hand. And while you may be busy sleeping, he never goes to sleep. He's sitting there at the Father's right hand watching for you and watching for every saint he's got on the face of this earth. And when trouble comes, he's sitting there and he's pleading their cause. He's pleading my cause this morning. Did you hear me? He's pleading my cause this morning, Sister Beth. He's talking to the Father about my need and about your need, about Marlon's need, about all of your needs. He knows. He knows. He has passion for us. Jesus feels. Did you know the Bible said he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities? Did you hear me? How many remember that scripture? He is touched. We have a high priest who is moved by our needs, and he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When you have an infirmity, don't get all sad and gloomy. Start trusting him. I'm telling people, quit worrying about getting your miracle in the next 2 minutes and just trust him. It'll come on time. Did you know that? He don't normally heal you instantly. He does sometimes. I like that. But he don't always do it that way. Sometimes he says, I remember the 1st of January when I was so extremely sick. I didn't get up here and bellyache about it. How many remember that? I didn't worry about it. I didn't go into big trials. It was tough sometimes. It was tough. I believe I missed one sermon. Is that right? I think I missed one sermon. 3 months. Terrible sickness. He said, I'll heal you if you'll trust me. People would say to me, Brother Chambers, you do know you're dying, don't you? I said, no, I don't know I'm dying. Where'd you get that mess from? You're listening to the wrong sowers. I'm not dying. There was a prophecy given that I'd be dead before camp meeting. Well, it didn't happen. It didn't scare me a bit. It didn't scare me an iota. He spoke. I believed. It happened. And that's all that counts. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and say, that's all that counts. God spoke, I believed, and it's happened. That was number 6 now. He's got passion. He is moved by the feelings of your infirmities. Right now, Sister Ginger, you understand he's moved by your infirmities. I mean, you're not sick. I don't mean that. But whatever the need is, he's moved. Brother Buck, he's moved by your infirmities, brother. You may be 92 and going on 100. I told somebody this week that's worried about how old I was. I said, I'm doing a duel with Moses. He lived to be 120. I'm working on that too. You know, I don't care to make it, to be real honest with you. I'd just soon go on to heaven today if it weren't for the work of God. The only thing keeps me here is the work of God. You understand? I don't care a lick about nothing else. Got a nice home, but I mean a thing. His will. Number 7. You don't want to miss this one. Number 7. The Father knew that he would be glorified in the glory and beauty of his Son's position. The Father knew that when men saw the Christ in all of his wonderful glories, they would ever remember it was the Father who gave his Son. I have the feeling that this generation has become very careless in their attitude toward the Father. I think so many people only think of the one who has done so much for them in redemption, and they forget the Father gave him redeemers. It was the Father's gift. And I'm telling you, when you magnify the Lord Jesus, you are also magnifying the Father. Raise your right hand up and say, I magnify you, Jesus. I magnify you, Christ. Come on, raise your right hand up. I magnify you, Jesus. And Jesus, I'm magnifying the Father in you. Because you gave the Son. The only begotten Son didn't come by his own choice. The Father called him to come. Oh, yeah, he chose to come after the Father appointed him. The Father appointed him first. Then the Son chose. It is the Father who gets glorified when you glorify the Son. When you look upon Him as the exalted one, the magnificent one, the glorious one. When you give Him all the honor that belongs to Him, you must remember that you are also glorifying the Father. You are also glorifying the Father. Would you stand? Now, I preach to you out of my very heart this morning. I preach to every one of you. As far as I'm concerned, when I preach, it's like the church is full. I'm just going to pour it out. Listen to me. The Father chose to exalt His Son. I want you to raise the right hand and say it with me. My Father chose to exalt His Son. Say that with some steam, will you? My Father chose to exalt His Son. Thank you, Brother Joe. My Father chose to exalt His Son. My Father chose it. And I gave you 7 reasons why He chose it. All of them are valid as far as I'm concerned. And they make me want to praise Him with all I've got. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Sister Vet, can we sing that? Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus be the Lord of all. You've struggled very dearly this morning without music and with a acting up PA system to boot, but you've done good. Now let's sing.
Jesus be the Lord. Lord of all.
Jesus.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus.
Jesus of angels from heaven in answer rain. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then I thought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of the cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth they seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who might enter. Stars by night or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna.